يا محمد صلى الله
عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
سلام عليكم. سلام عليكم. سلام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Continuing from last night's discussion, in the Holy Quran, sometimes the word insan is used, which means a human, and it can mean humans in general. It can also mean a specific human being. Sometimes the word bashar is used. Bashar literally means skin, but it's in reference to human beings whose superficial aspect is covered by skin. And by bashar, humans, it can be referring to humanity in general, humans in general, or a specific human being. For example, when the Holy Messenger said, "Ana basharu mithlukum," he's saying, "I am a human being, I, a specific human being like you." But insan and bashar, it can be used to refer to humans in general. It can be used in reference to a specific human being also. Sometimes the word Adam is used, and here with Adam, and we're discussing the whole concept of Adam alayhi salam and Eve alayhi salam. The question arises when the expression Adam is used. Is it referring to human beings in general, like insan and bashar can do? Or is it referring to a specific human being called Adam? Or is it, can it be referring to both and the context decides which? Here, in some verses of the Holy Quran, when it says that we created insan from dust or from clay or from X, Y, Z, yes, those kind of verses, it can apply to all human beings. It can also apply to a specific human being. It's very general. But in some verses, like the verse we've been discussing over the last few nights, here, in chapter 4, verse 1, when it says, خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, Allah created you from a single substance. This single substance, is it referring to human beings in general, or is it in particular referring to a particular human being by the name of Adam? Or is it referring to both? In this particular verse, because of its context, and because of the fact that it's followed by وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and Allah created from that single substance, it's pair. This means that nafsun wahida is referring to a specific human being. Because then it says that we created from its substance, it's pair. And the pair of Adam was Eve. If nafsun wahida was applicable to all human beings, then there would be no need to say, and he created from it its pair, because its pair is also part of the human being, is a human being. The fact that the verse is followed by he created from Nafsun wahida, it's pair, it means that Nafsun wahida is a particular human being, not humanity in general. If it was humanity in general, that second clause, there would be no need for it. That he created its pair from that. Because its pair is also a human being. So in this verse we have proof, we have, you know, indicators that it's not about humanity in general, it's a particular human being. And Allah created you, us, from that, and created its pair from the same substance. So, here we see that in this verse, 2 points are very important at the beginning, that all humans share the same substance, they're all created from the same substance, no one has superiority, origins-wise, creation-wise. Yes, one can say some children are born at an advantage with a head start as a result of their parents' actions. Yes, that's a reality. But what we're saying here is everyone is created from the same substance, origins-wise. Creation-wise, there's no superiority. And the reason some children are born with an advantage, it's a result of their parents, their ancestors' actions. Yes, actions can do grant superiority. But creation itself, everyone is equal. The second point is that the verse says, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رَجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then Allah disseminated, spread, from the two, meaning Adam and Eve, from the two, Allah disseminated numerous men and women. So the zahir and the superficial, prima facie meaning of this verse at face value is that everyone emanates and are descendants of Adam and Eve. That is the zahir being the superficial meaning of this verse. Okay. Then, in some verses of the Holy Quran, Adam alayhi salam, is mentioned very explicitly in reference to that one particular Adam. For example, in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 30-33, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى. For example, he taught Adam the names, يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ. O Adam, inform them. Referring to Adam informing the angels. It's a particular person. It's not humanity at large only. Or يَا آدَمُ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Adam, you and your wife reside in heaven. So it's a particular person here. But Adam also, in some verses or traditions, can be referring to humanity at large. That's possible also. So sometimes the indicators have to tell you. For example, some traditions that say, كلكم من آدم, you're all from Adam. Adam here can mean a particular Adam. It can also mean from a human, a first human. Just bear that in mind, it's important in a minute when we come to something else. Or for example, remember the tradition that before this cycle of human beings, before our Adam, alayhi salam, there were millions of other Adams preceding this cycle and this Adam. Yes, that's general, it's not a particular person. Speaking about the first human beings of all cycles, in general. But sometimes Adam refers to a particular Adam. This is the point I'm trying to convey. Sometimes it's a particular Adam. For our discussions now, It's a particular Adam which is referred to in that verse, chapter 4, verse 1. And then the verse says, from Adam and Eve, we created, we disseminated numerous men and women. Okay. Now, last night we were at this stage where some people believe, and this is a majority perspective amongst Muslim scholars and Shia scholars, that there was one Adam and Eve, and everyone emanated from that Adam and Eve. Now, when did Adam and Eve, when were they born, when were they created rather? When were they created? We don't know. Rough estimates say 7 to 10,000 years ago. Is it definitive? We still don't know. These are all suppositions. Until it becomes deductive proof, it won't help us a lot. It's only speculation. It's a good conjecture. It's not just nilly-willy. It's something with a basis to it. There are historical reports, it helps us. But right now, it's a hypothesis, more like a hypothesis than something definitive. So when we deal with hypotheses and good conjectures and guesses and scientific theories and everything, these are all good, but they can't tune or reinterpret the verses of the Quran, because that's 100% proof for us. Once science brings us something beyond doubt and is something indisputable, yes, that will help us even to reinterpret verses of the Quran. That's allowed. Because when we have an incompatibility between aql and naql, between the texts and rationality or intellect, here intellect always has that precedence. After all, it's aql, it's the intellect which tells you you need a prophet. You have to believe in the Prophet. You have to listen to why. All our aqaid is based on the intellect. But anyway, so when was Adam and Eve, the whole story? Let's say for now, 7 to 10,000 years ago. Or if you want, 7 to 12,000 years ago, according to some scholars. Allama Tabatabi seems to have, although he says it's not Burhan, it's not deductive in any manner, but he seems to have an inclination towards 7,000 years. And Adam and Eve, it was at that time, 70 centuries ago, as he says. So that's the common perspective. Some scholars say no. We don't emanate from one Adam and Eve. All the people on earth, they emanate from, they say, four Adam and Eve. Four Adams and Eves. So there were four original mother and father, and from those four, all of us have emanated from. The reason they say four is because of the four races. And they say, you know, this racial diversity we have, since it's very unlikely for it to have arisen within 70 centuries, it's unlikely. It's a theory, that's what they believe in. Now, there is some Quranic support maybe for their claim, and we're going to come to that today, inshallah. And there are some scholars who say, no, not one or four, let's not play the number game. There are many, there were many Adams and Eves created, at, let's say, 70 centuries ago, and they had children, children and children, and they were spread around the world. So tonight we want to discuss this aspect of the Adam and Eve story, inshallah. Now, that which is the prima facie meaning of the verse is the fact that there was one Adam and Eve, because it says, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا, and Allah spread from those two. But then it says, رَجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنَسَارًا. And this is where the new discussions arise. It didn't say, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. that we disseminated from those two all people. It said we disseminated, spread from Adam and Eve numerous men and women, numerous men or women. The word numerous is kathir. Kathir can be translated in two different ways. Either you translate it as much, or you translate it as many. And these two are very different. And that's why the scholars say, look, kathir, there are two types of kathir. Sometimes kathir means numerous in opposition to a few. When you say there are numerous X's, it's because there are a few of the other type, you say, but there are numerous of this. We call this the relative kathir. You say there are numerous, let's say, people, but this is used in opposition to a few people. And you're referring to the numerous, though. But sometimes numerous is not relative, that there's a numerous and there's a few. Rather, numerous sometimes is essential, meaning much. The relative numerous means many. The essential numerous means much. You're saying there are loads. Whatever, it's all here. There are loads of them. This is not in opposition to a minority few. It's saying it's all here, and there are loads of it. That's why, in this sense, the second sense, the essential sense, you would translate it as much. In the first sense, you would say many. Here it says that Allah disseminated from Adam and Eve, kathir, rijala kathira. Are you going to say this is many men and women? Meaning that there were some men and women which were not disseminated from Adam and Eve. You see, there's some bearing here now. Are you going to translate this as many, many men and women? In the sense that there were a few men and women who do not terminate and are not traced back to Adam and Eve, but they're still human beings. They had another father and mother. Or are you going to translate kathiran as much, loads of men and women? All these men and women, watch, they all came from Adam and Eve. And this is important. Because if it's the many type of kathir, it supports what those scholars who say there were more than one Adam and Eve. Okay. Now, so the next question is that which is meant with this kathir? They believe that this kathir in the verse is referring to the essential type, which knows of no opposition, not the relative. And therefore, it means much, loads of men and women. It's all, or all of them. Not that a few of them skip the equation, no. This is the essential type of kathir. And this would imply, if it's the essential type of kathir, it would imply that all men and women did emanate from Adam and Eve. So the question now is, what is their proof? They say that in the Quran, and in this verse too, when it says, Ya ayyuhan nas, it means all the people. At the head, at the start of this verse, it says, Ya ayyuhan nas. Then it says, اتَّبُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ and so on and so forth. So it's addressing everyone. And then it says that then Allah disseminated from those two much, meaning all the people. And it's addressing all the people too. When it says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, it's addressing all the people. Sometimes the Quran says, "Ya Bani Adam," O children of Adam. The verse is addressing all people of all times. And it says, "Ya Bani Adam," it means everyone, or children, descendants of Adam. And when the Quran uses "Ya Ayyuhan Nas," or "Bani Adam," O children of Adam, it means, therefore, that which follows is inclusive of all people. And in this verse, it's saying that all people emanate from Adam and Eve. That's the claim. Can it be proven or disproven? There is another argument to this claim. And it says, look, let's look at this verse of the Holy Quran, chapter 17, verse 17. It starts with this, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Verily, we dignified the children of Adam. And the verse continues, and we conveyed them on the sea, the land, we provided them sustenance, and so on and so forth. And then it ends, the same verse ends by saying, وَفَدَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Then it says, and then we granted a preference, a superiority over, we granted these Bani Adam, the children of Adam, we granted a superiority in them over كثير, many or much of that which we have created. We granted a superiority to Bani Adam over much of the things that we have created, or over many of the things that we have created. Now, here, the point is that we have traditions that some entities that were created are higher in superiority than humans. And humans at large don't have a potential to reach that level. And that is a level that a certain classification of angels have, called in the Quran the Aaleen. And these angels, from the very beginning of their creation, they were annihilated in Allah's majesty. They were so annihilated that when the order came for angels to prostrate before Adam, alayhi salam, these people didn't even hear the call. These people, because of that annihilation in Allah, they don't even know there's a creation called Adam. Until now, they're totally annihilated. That is not that's difficult for us to reach. And if that's the case, this verse says, O children of Adam, Adam, in relation to the children of Adam, Allah granted a superiority over many, not all, not much, many of the things that we've created. Some of the things we've created are superior to the children of Adam. Okay, but then the next point is that some human beings are higher than even the Aaleen, such as the prophets, the imams, and even the people who are not prophets or imams, who are disciples of Allah, the awliyaullah, those in love with Allah, those in close proximity to Allah, they can be of a higher degree. And if they can be of a higher degree, if you just pay attention to this one sentence, if they can be of a higher degree, then when the verse starts with Bani Adam, children of Adam, it doesn't necessarily include all the children. It includes most of the children at large, but there may be some children who go against this and are all superior than all else that Allah has created, including those angels. So just because something starts with Ya Ayyuhan Nas, doesn't mean all people have to be under the ruling which is mentioned in that verse. Just because a verse starts with your Bani Adam, it doesn't mean the ruling which follows in that verse includes all the children of Adam. So we would need more here. It's not definitive proof. Maybe. Yes, there were maybe many of Ayyuhan Nas, many of them emanated from Adam and Eve, but maybe not all of them. Just because it starts with Ayyuhan Nas, that doesn't mean they were emanated from Adam and Eve, not necessarily. There may have been some. And if they say, but this is your Ayyuhan Nas, we say, yes, but this your Ayyuhan Nas don't relate it to the ruling that there were much that were disseminated from Adam and Eve. That Ayyuhan Nas, from wherever they were originated from, this Adam and Eve or that or whatever, whoever you are, whatever human being, ittaqullah. Ittaqu rabbakum alladhi. That's where all the people are inclusive in the ruling. Have taqwa before your Lord. That you can say. I think all humans have to have taqwa. But in relation to them being disseminated from one Adam and one Eve, no, you can't use your Ayyuhan Nas as evidence. And the reverse of the Quran, as we've shown, I don't do that. Okay, that was the next point. In relation to Bani Adam though, there's one key verse that I don't want to mention today, inshallah tomorrow, it's chapter 7, verse 27. There is an extra code. It's because of one certain expression. We'll open that inshallah tomorrow. Okay, so some people believe there's one Adam and Eve. And we say, why? They say, look, the zahir of this verse, the prima facie meaning of this verse, shows that you would need to bring something definitive until we change our minds. Bringing something definitive is difficult. But it's only the superficial meaning that they cling onto. There's nothing definitive and explicit in the Holy Quran to say there was one Adam and Eve. It's only the prima facie meaning that we're clinging onto for now. And we're saying that on itself, it can't be the be all and end all. And then there are some scholars who say, no, there are more. There's more than one Adam and Eve. And they bring different arguments. One of the arguments was that question of racial diversity. It's a good piece of science, but it's not definitive. It's a theory. It's not enough for us to reinterpret the zahir of the Quran. Sometimes science can do that. In Al-Mizan, Allama Tabatabai refers to a scholar. He doesn't give the name of the scholar, but with the research I've done, it seems to be a very famous Iranian scholar by the name of Professor Hesari, rahmatullah alayhi, who was a physicist and at the time of Einstein, a very, very decent man, decent physicist and professor, and also his ethics was very strong. In the memoirs of this man, a lot of ethical stories arise, which I personally have benefited a lot. Allama Tabatabai doesn't mention the name, but it seems to be this particular person that he says, with the evidence science has, they interpret the story of Noah's Ark and the flooding in a particular way. And Allama says that if that science is proven, which these scientists believe, you can reinterpret the zahir of the Quran. But that's another story, with the story of Noah, inshallah, another day, another time. Another reasoning these scholars bring is that they say, look, there are oceans in between the continents. And what are you going to say about this traveling from continent to continent. Because we know that in all continents there are people. There was no means of traveling, let's say, 7 to 10,000 years ago. Okay, this is a theory they're bringing. Even glaciologists have interesting theories of how there was intercontinental travel. But they don't say it, well, it happened 7 to 10,000 years ago, they go way back. But they do explain certain ice channels as ways of traveling those days. These are all theories. They say, if there was one Adam and Eve, how could they travel to different parts? But we know in all continents there are people. So maybe in all continents there was an Adam and Eve, a mother and father. And then their children married and so on and so forth. Here, if you reply and say, no, actually the continents were together once upon a time, that would be a good answer. But the problem is that the continents were together once upon a time, we're talking millions of years ago. In relation to the story of Adam and Eve, if you want to be insistent that it was 7 to 12,000 years ago, or even 20, or even 30, it doesn't matter. But still, there were still oceans then. The continents weren't stuck together then. It's going to be difficult if you answer in that way. What this class of scholars are saying, it's okay, it's a theory. But we're still not definitive though. Just because you don't know about means of travel between continents, it doesn't mean it didn't exist. So it's still possible. But the answer that says they were all stuck together, it doesn't do much to answer the question of Adam and Eve. And then, a piece of Quran that these scholars also refer to prove their case that there was more than one Adam and Eve is in chapter 3, verse 33. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Verily Allah chose Adam and Noah and the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran. But the word istafa is used. He chose. The point being, when Allah chooses someone, it means there are many people there, and then Allah chose this one person from many people. And so, when Allah chooses Adam, there must have been other people there, other men, other women, and Allah chose Adam. So there may have been many Adams and Eves, but that man, that father chosen as the prophet, was a particular Adam. But there may have been many other mothers and fathers. That's the argument they want to show. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this manner of argumentation. I mean, at the end of the day, I want you to listen to what Allah Ta'ala says. It's something very, very firm. He was a very unique personality. You know, he was the accumulation of many scholars throughout Islamic history, all in one person, as if all in one person. His works have a lot of depth. His personality was a very deep, mystic, genuine, decent man. He could have easily become a marriager, without doubt, with ease. And with ease, he could have been the alam, no question whatsoever. But he said, look, we have many marriages. Fiqh is in relation to the letter of the law. Who's going to cultivate the batin and the inner aspect of these poor people? Until when are these poor people going to suffice with the letter of the law? When are they going to grow? And therefore he went into the mystic and the rational sciences. He wanted to put weight into these sciences. Although Allama Tabatabai isn't 100%, he's not ma'soor. But you know, it's safe to follow, you know, well, if you accept it. All these are discussions in aqaid. In aqaid, you can't force someone to believe something. But Allama is a good source of authority. He doesn't like this argument that these scholars raise. And he says, first of all, we can say there were a small group of people. There was Adam, his wife, and his children. It wasn't as if Adam was assigned prophethood from the very beginning. Prophethood came and he was chosen a bit over time. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, his prophethood, his imamat, you know, over time he was granted these titles. The same with Adam. And therefore Adam had a wife and he had children. If you want to insist that there must have been a group of people before you can, it qualifies to say that Allah chose, there has to be some people. If you want to insist on that, well, there was his wife, his children, and Allah chose Adam. So that's one reasoning, and that's quite an interesting reasoning, because that means Eve had the capacity also to be chosen, and the children had the capacity, but Adam was chosen. Because if none of them had the capacity, it would make, there's no meaning to say God chose him from a group, but no one else has the capacity. You're only left with one person. It wouldn't make sense. So that's one understanding, and that has some interesting repercussions with it. But the second and more important reasoning he says, look, the verse ends with alal alameen. Alal alameen, over all the worlds. Yes, Allah chose Adam. Allah chose Noah. Allah chose Ibrahim, and so on and so forth, alayhi wasalam. But he chose them over all the worlds. Allah is saying, if this stipulation did not exist over all the worlds, what those scholars are saying, that there are many Adams and Eve, and because Allah chose, so there must have been many people there at the time, that has weight. If there was no alal alameen in this verse, in chapter 3, verse 33, that theory would have acquired some weight. But when it has alal alameen, there doesn't have to be people present when you choose someone. Because Allah is choosing here. And Allah, in His knowledge, even though people are not physically present, He knows all the people who are to come. And when He knows all the people who are to come, even though they're not present physically, but it's in Allah's knowledge, then from all those, Allah chose Adam. So then we're back to square one again. It's one Adam and Eve. But the story doesn't end there. And those scholars now have other theories too. Inshallah, we'll continue with this tomorrow. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله. Oh, my God.